Good morning, church. Let's all stand. We're going to worship God this morning. Come on in as you make your way. We're going to fill up in God's grace this morning. Amen. Great is your faithfulness.
Great is your faithfulness, oh God.
Amen. You wrestle, Lord.
You wrestle.
Good morning. How are you guys this morning? Are you fantastic? How many of you are enjoying the weather? How many of you wish it was cold? How many? You can't enjoy it and wish it was cold. Those don't go together. How many of you are really excited about 108? Go away. We're really glad you're here. My name is Kelsey. I'm one of the pastors, and I'm really excited that you're here, not just because we're looking forward to Easter and the exciting things that God is going to do in and through and around us, but also because today we get to come together as a community and worship and praise and love and just be awesome together. I don't know about you, but there's nothing better than a good Sunday morning together. Can we say amen to that? Thank you. I feel good about my amens. All right. Couple things. Do you guys, you can stay standing. I'm going to make you stand. Couple things you guys get to know before I let you go and shake hands. One, there is a Joyce Reed Mission Circle meeting tomorrow. If you're interested, stop by Welcome Central. If you have any questions, stop by Welcome Central. Welcome Central's awesome. Go to Welcome Central. Welcome Central. All right. Two, next Sunday is our annual business meeting. If you're a member and you want to know what's going on here and you want to vote on our new elders, come. I promise it'll be somewhat enjoyable and only slightly painful, okay? But it's a great way for all of us to connect, a great way for all of us to be on the same page and look forward to what God's going to do over the next year here with us. The last thing you may have noticed, this is Andy. Can you guys say hi to Andy? Andy is a guest with us this morning, and he's done a great job piecing things together and just having a blast. Make sure you love on him today. Introduce yourself. Give him a big hug. He likes hugs, really big bear hugs. And so make sure you, he really does. I'm not just saying that, right? Oh, that's weird. No. So make sure you love on Andy. Also, if you are a part of the worship team, you're interested in being a part of the worship team, or you just want to know more things about worship, come tonight, 5:30 in Winfields to meet him, to hang out, to talk about what God's going to do in and through our worship ministries here. Now that I've talked 1,000 miles a minute, everyone go love on each other, shake hands, make sure you greet someone that you don't know.
Once again, good morning, church. As we gather back to our spots, a reflection on this morning's service. Let's call God into our presence, calling upon His Holy Spirit with a wonderful, wonderful outcry of our hearts. Open the eyes of my heart, God. The one verse that God has bestowed upon my heart this year is, "Be still and know that I am God." And so let that be our prayer. Lord, we call upon you, God. We ask, Lord, that you be in our presence. We pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Amen. I want to see you. Say that again, open the eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Yes, God.
Perfect in all of your ways.
bask in your presence, God, this morning. We declare you are a father of reason, a father of grace, a father of love. You are perfect, God. May we become less and you more. In your presence, God, we declare your name. And all God's people say, amen. You may be seated.
Hey, before I get going, Club 3-5, they're meeting today. If you could follow this lovely redheaded lady. She's phenomenal, all right? So Club 3-5 will meet over there. That would be great. Thanks, Andy. Thanks, Ben. So that was great. I love road trips. I love getting behind the wheel. I love driving. I enjoy it no matter how far it is. I don't mind driving it. It gives me time to think, gives me time to consider different things that are going on in life. A few years ago, we were up in Kansas City celebrating my parents' 50th wedding anniversary, and at the end of it, went home, hung out with my folks for a couple days. Then we got in a rental vehicle, and it was a sweet rental vehicle. And here's what I don't like about rental vehicles, is that you have to turn them in and go back to your 1998 Honda, okay? But anyway... We got in this car in Kansas City, and we wanted to make good time. We didn't want to stay a night in a hospital. No. Well, we didn't want that to happen either. We didn't want to stay a night in a hotel. So we put it in gear, and we flew. Some people would say it was at a low altitude orbit. We made great time. But here's what happens in any long road trip. The closer you get to your destination, the further away it seems to be. Does that make sense? We've been driving all this time, and we had made great time, and I was excited. And when we were driving through Payson, I said, man, we only have about 90 more minutes to go. We're going to do this. This is awesome. And then I kid you not, it felt like everything came to a screeching halt. All of a sudden, one minute seemed to last for 5 minutes. And I wanted to get home. And so we kept driving. And apparently, I was driving pretty fast because a state trooper decided to flash me his lights. And thankfully, he didn't stop me because I was on a time crunch. Okay? He didn't stop me, but I slowed down. And when we pulled into the driveway after 23 hours of driving, Dawn, Heidi, Stephanie, and myself, we just looked at each other and said, good night, and we went straight to bed. But during that last 90 minutes, it was hard to just keep going because there was this part of you saying, I want to get there as fast as possible, yet it seemed to take longer and longer and longer. The reason why I point that out is because in this encounter that we're going to see that Jesus does in Luke 18 is he's in Jericho, and Jericho is only 17 miles away from Jerusalem. He's been on the ultimate road trip. Started with him being in heaven, and the triune God said, we need to fix this. And Christ came to earth. And as he came to earth, he lived out among us an amazing way. And in Luke chapter 9, we're told that Jesus resolutely set his face towards Jerusalem. What does that mean? It means this, that every single step he took was a step closer to Jerusalem. He knew what he was about, and he knew his time was drawing to an end. And so he comes to Jericho. He's only 17 miles away. Only 17 miles away from being betrayed, only 17 miles away from going to a cross, only 17 miles away from being buried, only 17 miles away from on the third day rising from the dead. He has a lot on his mind. And then we read this, Luke 18, starting at verse 35. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Father, we pray now as we come into this time of your word, we pray that the song we sang just a little while ago about you opening the eyes of our heart would be true. That we would realize that you are the good, good Father. That you are perfect in all of your ways. And Lord, as we see you, we understand more clearly who we are and what we desperately need in our lives, which is your mercy. May we see that this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in Luke chapter 18, just to summarize the first 34 verses, it goes like this. Jesus applauds a widow. He applauds a tax collector. And he applauds children. Why is that significant? It's significant because in Luke's gospel, those three particular individuals represent people that had been considered outcasts in society, especially from a Jewish perspective when it comes to tax collectors. They despised the Jews. They wanted nothing to do with them. And so Jesus reaches out to these tax collectors. All throughout Luke, we find these encounters where he has this encounter with the tax collector, and the tax collector places his trust in Jesus Christ. This widow who we meet in the first few verses of Luke 18, it's a story that Jesus is telling, but I think he tells it for a reason to say, I want you to consider the widow's plight. She's dependent. She has nothing to offer society. She's in a lot of trouble. And yet, look what happens. She gets taken care of. And then Jesus talks about there are this group of children, and they're trying to get to Jesus. And the apostles, because they're a few fries short of a happy meal, I guess. That was supposed to be funny. It didn't work. But they don't really get how Jesus interacts with people. And they tell these kids to pretty much go away. And Jesus comes up and he says, let them come to me. Children, in Jesus' day, were disregarded. They were considered more of a nuisance. They were considered another mouth to feed. And here's why. 30% of all children in Jesus' day didn't make it to maturity. In essence, they were an expense that most people could not take care of adequately. Yet Jesus says, in the midst of this, he says, unless you become like a child, you're not coming into the kingdom. Luke throws in all of these stories in Luke 18, and I believe it's because he's drawing it to a close. He knows that Jesus is entering into the last days of his life. He's 17 miles away from Jerusalem. And then, As he approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus is making his way, and there's this huge crowd of people. And this blind beggar doesn't see. But he hears this crowd, and he says, in essence, what's going on? And they say, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Well, the blind beggar then says, I need to see him. I want to experience him. And he says this. Look at what he says. He says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. In the Greek, the have mercy part is all about pity. And we can sit there and say, well, he wants Jesus to feel pity for him because he's a blind beggar. But in the Greek, it's a broader understanding of what it means. What he's saying is, don't look at me with pity because I'm a blind beggar. Look at me with pity because I'm in need of mercy. I'm blind, but my problem goes way, way deep. This past week, I was reading through my Sports Illustrated, and as I got to the end of this one article, I was fascinated with what this English professor said, and the article was about violence. And they concluded this. Look what they say. We are not nearly as good or as civilized as we think. I read that and I thought, I don't know what this guy's belief system is or anything like that, but he's on to something when it comes to humanity. Don't get me wrong, humanity does great things. Great things. But yet he's pointing to something that drives, that's in our core. We are a broken people. We are not as good as we think we are. We are not as civilized as we think we are. Look at all the things that are going on in the world right now, and you tell me that humanity understands how important being civil to one another is? I could stand here before you for the next number of hours and go over this after this after this, saying, look at how rotten things are. But I could also say, I could spend the next number of hours saying, look at all these cool things that are going on. But within all of us, we need mercy, we need pity. Because the reality is this, without God's mercy, our pity goes unnoticed. We're not nearly as good or as civilized as we think. The beggar understood that. The beggar understands that. And it's interesting that he gives Jesus this title of Son of David. Throughout the Gospel of Luke, everybody's trying to say, don't use Son of David, because that means he's the Messiah. Don't address him that way. And this blind beggar's saying, Jesus, Son of David. He's saying, I don't care what you're telling me about this guy. I'm telling you, this guy, from what I've heard, is the Messiah. God bless you. Great sneeze. And then this happens. And every time I come to this place, it gets to me. Look at what happens in verse 39. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Excuse me? They told this guy who's blind, in need of healing, to be quiet. Not only did they tell him to be quiet, notice what it says. It says they rebuked him. So in essence, what they're saying is, shut up. Here's this guy who needs Jesus, and they're saying, please shut up. They had been around Jesus. They had heard the same stories that the blind beggar had heard. They had heard that Jesus had cast out demons. They had heard that Jesus had healed a deaf man by putting mud in his ear, and boom, all of a sudden he can hear. They had seen him cure lepers. They had seen him touch a person who had never spoken before. They had seen Jesus touch his tongue, and all of a sudden he can speak freely. They had seen Jesus, they had heard Jesus confront the religious authorities and say, what you're doing is so wrong, I can't help myself but to tell you to be quiet and figure out what you're supposed to be about. They had seen Jesus repeatedly heal blind people. They have a blind beggar. A blind beggar. And they said, shut up. I get ticked every time I read this passage and come to this verse. I get angry. So they're going, what are you talking about? How can you tell this guy to be quiet? The very one who can heal him is right there, and yet you have the audacity to say, Jesus, he's all for us, he's not for you, beggar. and I was getting angry the other day in my office. And that's quite a sight to see. But I'm going, I don't get this. This really irritates me. And then this happens every single time, and it drives me nuts. God says, why don't you take a look at yourself, John? Frankly, I hate it when he does that. So they go, man, I've got all this indignation towards these people that prevent Jesus from being seen. And all of a sudden, God says, you prevent people from being seen. You prevent Jesus from being seen. I've asked three wonderful individuals to help me illustrate this. And I'd like to ask these guys to come on up, okay? They're hesitating because, well, they're guys. Okay, so here's what's going to happen. You guys can pick up the pace a little bit. Okay? Just pick it up. Thank you, Jared. You get the gold star. Zach, nice effort. Mitch, thank you for being here. So here we go. Okay? Mitch, this is Mitch Arndt. This is Jared Robles. This is Zach Miller. Okay? Follow me here. Mitch is going to play the blind beggar. Okay? Good-looking dude. I like the guy a lot. I'm not going to ask for your phone number, okay? So you're right here, okay? Jared, because he has a beard, is Jesus, all right? Because everybody knows that Jesus has a beard, okay? Zach, come over here, buddy. Zach represents the crowd that prevents people from seeing Jesus. You clear with this? Okay? Zach, you know what to do? Sort of. Good. That's comforting. So here we go. Zach, here we go. What Zach's going to do is he will prevent Mitch from seeing Jesus. Remember, Mitch is the blind beggar. Okay? One of the biggest issues that we deal with, and you can walk around and show that, Zach, just sort of display that, is hypocrisy. The biggest complaint that people have to... All right, stop right there. No, come here. Lift that up. There we go. Okay, so I know I didn't know you were this tall. No, thank you very much. Okay, so yeah, keep jumping. No, you don't have to keep jumping, Zach. So, but here's what happens: is that so often, and if you look at the number one thing that people get upset with Christ followers about, it's hypocrisy. Hypocrisy prevents the blind beggars in our lives from seeing Jesus Christ. So often we sit there and we think, well, I can go to church on Sunday, or I can show up in a Wednesday night Bible study. I can do this, I can do that. But yet our lives are completely off the rails, and we get hypocritical. It prevents people from seeing Jesus Christ. All right, next. You ready? So, I'll take that. Self-righteousness. We sit there and say, hey, take a look at me. Look at how great I am. Look at all these things I do. I do this, I do that. I'm a nice guy all around. And our self-righteousness is all about looking at our rules, our regulations. And we have these blind beggars who can't see who we should be seeing to save them, which is Jesus Christ. Instead, all they see is a bunch of rules and regulations. They completely miss it. And then we have this one. And this one's a little bit tricky. Our past. All of us in this room have a past. Jesus knows your past. That was really effective, but Jesus knows your past. That was really good. Okay? We all have a past. Past. We sit there and say, I'm such a horrible person. Jesus Christ has rescued me. But instead of us focusing on what Jesus Christ has done, we say, look at how horrible of a person I once was. And we keep addressing our past over and over and over again. And people, the blind beggar, can't see Jesus Christ because we keep presenting our past, completely failing the fact that we have been forgiven completely. And then this one. And this one stings. Apathy. The blind beggars in our lives don't see Jesus Christ because, frankly, we just don't care. We just don't care. He's a blind beggar. That's his problem. He can cry out all he wants, but that's his problem. I don't care. Jesus is sitting there reaching out, and yet because we don't care, Jesus says, fine, I'm going to find a different route here. Last week, I asked you to write down the name of a person that you believe to be lost, that you believe to be in the dark. I asked you to pray for that person. Jesus just got a phone call. I asked you to pray for that person, and I want to ask you right now, have you prayed for them? We pray about the things that matter to us. And we want people to see Jesus, and we proclaim that. Yet, if we're not willing to pray for them, this reigns supreme. Thank you guys for helping out. All right, so thank you. Appreciate that. You did well. Okay. It's our desire to have people see Jesus. And trust me, all of us know that there's an incredibly long list of things that we do that prevent Jesus from being seen. Even though Mitch is 6 foot whatever, when we have those things in our lives and we allow those things to get in the way, Jesus is not being seen. But what I love about this blind beggar is what he does. He says, you might be telling me to shut up, but I am going to yell even louder. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Instead of being discouraged by these people that were rebuking him, he says, I'm just going to take it up a notch. And not only am I going to take it up a notch, I'm going to be so loud, he can't help but see me. There are people in our lives right now who are crying out, and we're sitting there saying, would you please be quiet? And they're crying out so loudly because they know they need Jesus Christ, and yet we sit there with our self-righteousness, our apathy, our past, our I can't remember the other one, but you know what I'm talking about. And we sit there and we get all caught up in that. And they cry out louder and louder and louder. And yet we say, please be quiet. But I'm here to tell you this, is that people in our lives right now are crying out so loudly. And instead of telling them to be quiet, we need to say, let me show you Jesus. That's what we need to be about. And so he cries out, and I love this. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see. Let me take you back just a couple chapters ago. The last time we heard about Jericho was when Jesus was talking about the Good Samaritan. And in that story, there's a man traveling down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. And in that story, there's a priest and a Levite who come along this man who's lying half dead in the street. And the priest and the Levite pass by on the other side. They don't want to bother with him. We sit there and we say, well, you can understand they have priestly duties to do, all this kind of stuff. But yet when you look at the story and you realize their priestly duties are done, they can take care of this guy. They walk right on by. And then a good Samaritan does what? The good Samaritan stops, takes care of the man, and puts him up in a hotel and makes sure that he's going to be taken care of. Why do I bring that up? I bring that up because Luke tells us that Jesus is going from Jericho up to Jerusalem. There's a man lying along the side of the road in Jericho. And Jesus, being the great high priest, could have simply said, I've got work to do up in Jerusalem. I'm on my way to do my duties. I'm passing by on the other side. But look what happens. It says this, that Jesus stopped. He stopped. Jesus Christ will stop for you wherever you are. You have things going on in your life right now, and perhaps you're overwhelmed by what's going on in your life right now. Jesus Christ says, I'll stop for you. There are over 7 billion people on this planet, and yet he knows precisely what's going on in your life, and he will stop for you. Not only does he stop, and I would imagine the crowd's going, whoa, what just happened here? You got work to do. Get going to Jerusalem. You got to get there. And he stops, this crowd stops, and he says, bring the guy here. Bring the guy here. And so he brings the guy. The guy comes there, and Jesus looks at him and says, what do you want me to do for you? And I love the guy's response. I just want to see. He gets right to the point. He doesn't sit there and give Jesus all this backstory about what his life's been like being born blind and all the different difficulties that he's had in his entire life. Jesus Christ already knows that. And Jesus Christ says, what do you want me to do for you? And the guy says, I'm not going to give you the backstory. I just want to see. That's it. Folks, Jesus is asking you this morning, what do you want me to do for you? Do you want to see? That's what he's offering right now. He's on his way to the cross, and he says, what do you want me to do for you? Because he already knows what he's ultimately going to do. He stops, and he says to you right now, what do you want me to do for you? We walk around with blinders on, and what we need to say to Jesus is this, I want to see. I want to see clearly. I want to see you. Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Here's what's interesting about this. This entire crowd that was telling the guy to shut up, all of a sudden they're saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm going, really? People are so fickle. You were just telling this guy to be quiet, and now great things have happened. And you say, oh, we treated you horribly, but praise the Lord, you're healed. Wow. And Jesus says, your faith has healed you. This is the last miracle that Jesus does in the book of Luke before he goes to the cross and rises from the dead, which is the greatest miracle of all time. And I believe there's a reason for that. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus says these words, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. In essence, what Luke is doing here is saying, this one, this Jesus, son of David, he is truly the Son of David. Do you see that in your own life? A beggar, the first thing he sees when he opens his eyes is the face of Jesus Christ. That had to be awesome. He saw blue for the first time, green for the first time. He saw trees for the first time. He saw people for the first time. It had to be a mind-blowing experience. But the best part about it is he saw Jesus for the first time. Are you blind? Do you realize that you need his mercy to open the eyes of your heart? Jesus Christ is the great eye opener. And he wants to open your eyes today to see what you need to see to deal with the stuff that needs to be dealt with and to see life in a different way. Do you know this Jesus? Do you know this one? And if you do know him, have you been so blinded because you've been so caught up with yourself that you need to have your eyes opened anew? Only you can answer that question. And Jesus says, your faith has healed you, has restored you. Know that he'll not let you down. Father, we pray now as we come into this time of response to you. We pray that you would open our eyes so that we can see what needs to be seen. That you'd have mercy on us, a people that is broken and hurting. And that we would get out of your way so people can see you in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The band's going to come up now and we're going to sing a song. And as we sing this song, it's my hope, it's our hope, that not only do we understand more fully that Jesus Christ heals us and restores us and opens our eyes, but that he will never, ever let us down.
Let's stand as we go into worship even further. It's interesting that Pastor John made the points that he did. I know as a worship leader, I come to a point where you can't lead in the presence of Christ until you've already been broken. You know, these past few weeks, God has really just taken my heart. 180. We think we know, but we truly don't. I go from thinking one thing to the understanding that I'm selfish, I am prideful, I can be obnoxious at some points. But my hope is that this next song just be your prayer. If you close your eyes, you just listen to the words, because even as Christians, we may not lie when we speak, but we sure lie when we sing, because we fail to understand what it is coming from our hearts.
I'm not afraid to die.
when temptation comes my way. Yes, God. When I cannot stand or follow you, you are Lord. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
You can have a seat.
Good morning. I'm Kelsey again. It's nice to see you. I'm here with Stella Ranger, one of our sixth grade girls, and she came to me last week and she said, it's time. And I said, I don't know what that means. And she said, to get baptized. And so I said, absolutely. So today I'm going to have her, give us a sentence on why she wants to be baptized, and then we'll do some statement of faith. Are you ready? Give us your sentence.
When I was a baby, I was baptized, and I think Jesus was with me all the time. But now it's my decision to get baptized, and I'm totally sure that Jesus will be in my life forever.
I believe he'll be in your life forever too, and I'm super excited to do this with you. Are you ready to repeat after me? All right, you got to come closer. I won't bite. All right, I believe that Jesus is the Christ.
Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the Living God.
Son of the Living God.
And I publicly commit my life.
To follow him.
As my Lord and Savior.
All
right, because of your confession of faith, let's do this.
Confession of our faith is just to declare the goodness of God just one last time. Amen. Amen.
Deeper still as you call me.
So just a quick reminder, if you're interested in meeting Andy or you're interested in the worship ministry here at 5:30 this afternoon at Winfield's, I would love to have you join us there. It would be a great time. As we leave, know this, that there are blind beggars in your life right now that are crying out. It's my prayer for all of us this week that we would get out of the way and reflect Jesus Christ to them. May we not miss those opportunities. And may we have our eyes wide open to what he's done for us and what he's done for humanity. God bless you. Enjoy this day. Thanks for being here. God bless.